are listening to the Tableau Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tableau Podcast. This is your host, Tableau. And this is the podcast where we talk about everything. Everything in the world that may or may not matter. But somehow at the end, it all does matter. Which is, I don't know how it happens. Okay, I don't know. It's magic. It's a
magic.
Yeah.
Magic. Like Magic
Johnson. All right, guys. If you're watching on video, you can see that I'm, for the first time, you can see my shoes on this podcast.
You have legs.
Okay. And I'm wearing some Jordan 1s. Recently, I actually sold a lot of my Jordans. So I used to have like this collection of Air Jordans and just a lot of shoes and like sneakers in general.
You were a sneakerhead.
Yeah, I guess not really a sneakerhead, but I just, you know, I liked sneakers because I'm not into cars. I don't know how to drive. I don't have a license. And cars are just significantly more expensive, right? Yes. So I decided to collect sneakers because in a way they're like little cars. Right? They all have their unique designs and they get you from point A to point B. So I had a lot of sneakers, especially Jordans. But recently I sold a lot of them off because I just wasn't wearing them. You know, like you only have 2 feet, right? And yeah. You only have a number of occasions to go to and you can't be wearing sneakers all the time. So I'm like, you know, these are just taking up space in my house. And I kind of regret it because recently the Michael Jordan documentary dropped.
Mm.
And I've been watching the hell out of this thing with 2 cuts actually. So it's become a ritual where we would go to the studio and before we start working, we'll watch like 1 episode and it totally pumps us up. We're like, we're gonna win.
This next album is just gonna be gonna, like party rock.
We're gonna do it. And then we get into the studio, we work, and then we wrap it off with 1 more episode after like a 4-hour like recording session.
Yeah.
Right. And I totally recommend this documentary. It's a 10-part series that's airing on ESPN. I think they have the first couple episodes on Korean Netflix right now. I don't know about the Netflix situation in the U.S. Is it on Disney Plus? I don't know.
I don't know because ESPN is owned by Disney. So I would imagine they would… Yeah, I'm pretty sure ESPN content is on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I've somehow seen up to episode 8. And let me just tell you. I'm not a fan. I'm not a huge fan of sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a team that I root for. Like my home team. There's not a sport that I watch religiously. I like a little bit of soccer sometimes. I like a little bit of basketball sometimes. I used to like tennis, but I'm not one of those like sports fans really. But I am a fan of greatness. I am extremely interested in greatness and also, the sheer drama of just watching people overcome things and overcome their limits.
Hmm.
And if there's anyone that did that, it's definitely Michael Jordan. Some of you are listening right now and you're like, oh, I have a pair of Air Jordans. I like those shoes. I want to get the 11 breads. And maybe you don't know anything about Michael Jordan as the player.
Yeah.
But for people in my age group, I don't think there's a single one of us that didn't grow up watching Michael Jordan play. And just his team, the Chicago Bulls, just an amazing, eclectic group of people.
Yeah.
Right? For their final like 3 championship seasons, they had Jordan, who's the clear leader, just the clear goat, just amazing at what he does, relentless in his pursuit of victory. And then you have Scottie Pippen, who's also an exceptional player, just amazing overall. If Jordan didn't exist, Pippen would probably be the GOAT.
Yeah.
And the two of them were together, right? So he's the perfect support. And then you have Dennis Rodman, who's the clear, like, character, right? Just
personality.
Everyone's saying he's crazy. You know, he's got the hair. He's got the tats. He's got the extracurricular activities. But just unbelievable at rebounding. A very physical player that does all the physically hard work so that Pippen and Jordan can deliver, right? And you just see the three of them together. And it's like… like Scottie Pippen is very soft-spoken. Very calm even, right? And not really animated. Dennis Rodman is just
firecracker.
Basically just walked out of an animation, right? Like you couldn't… This guy was a dude from 2020 living in the 90s. And it's just amazing that someone could be themselves that much in that time, right? And then you have Jordan who's like… You just look at him and he just looks like victory. And the three of them together, it's like the best hip hop group or like the best, like, you know, it's like the Avengers almost.
Is
right?
Two Cuts Dennis Rodman?
No.
Are you Dennis Rodman?
No, we are not the Bulls. Bullshit, maybe.
You're the Harlem Sadly. Shakers or whatever they're called. No, oh, Globetrotters.
Harlem Shakers. All right. So, as I was saying, I am a fan of greatness. And watching this documentary, if you're into sports or basketball or the Bulls in that era, it's entertaining, first of all, because you get all the behind stories of their championships. And let me first tell you what the documentary is about. So it's called The Last Dance, and it's about the very last season of the Bulls. 97.
With this era.
Yeah, 97-98 Bulls.
Yes.
And the drama surrounding that season is that even though… So they, up to this point, they had won five championships in like 7 years or something.
Like, okay, almost
six,
back
seven
to
years.
Back.
Yeah, like so… In basketball at the time, it's literally impossible to get a three-peat where you get three championships in a row, right? Getting two makes you legendary. And the Bulls had already done one three-peat and they were on their way to do another, right? So this team is already the greatest team in the history of not only basketball, but maybe in sports.
Mm.
And it's the last season and there is a whole like thing with the so the executive branch of the Bulls, like the ownership.
Yeah.
Some people wanted to… Well, they were saying these guys are aging. We need to bring on young, fresh talent to replace them. And making this very open. You know, they were saying this to the media. So… Everyone's asking Jordan and Pippen, like, are you guys retiring? Is this the last season? That's why it became The Last Dance.
Uh-huh.
Also, I forgot to mention, like, there's a lot. So, I'm, like, going to be all over the place. But one of the most important characters in this Bulls story is Phil Jackson, who's the coach.
Yeah.
And he's an exceptional coach. Very smart, very intelligent, very innovative. And he had some drama with the ownership as well. And he was sort of like booted out. And then they had to bring him back because Jordan wouldn't play unless he was coaching. And they made him sign a deal where like he would only be able to coach for one more season. and then he's out.
Oh.
And hence, it became The Last Dance.
Love Stakes.
It became The Last Dance, right?
Yeah.
And so you have this drama between the ownership and the players, where the ownership is like, the organization wins championships, not the team. And Jordan is like, no, the players win it. None of you guys took a three or slam dunked. The players are, the ones on the floor are the ones doing it. And they were both voicing this very publicly. And also, are they going to be able to do another three-peat? Because Michael Jordan was getting older. And it's just never been done, right? So that's the basic setup. And this documentary delves into other big stories within that era. And let me just tell you, like, there's something about great, like, superstars and the fact that they can't escape drama. And I don't mean drama in, like, only the negative way.
Like there's always something crazy happening.
No, but everything they do happens in the most dramatic way possible.
Yeah.
Where it's like Shakespearean almost. So Jordan, I think, entered the NBA in '84. I'm not sure. Okay, I like I said, I'm not a sports fan. So I'm not going to be good with the stats. So if you're a huge sports fan, you're like, no, it was like 95, 96. Shut up. You don't know anything. Please stop listening because I'm not going to be accurate with the stats. But
yeah.
I think it was like '84. He entered the league and people didn't know if he was going to… You know, he wasn't the first draft pick. But he came in and he was immediately started killing it, but didn't win his first championship until like the early 90s. So people think like Jordan was like killing it from the beginning, like winning.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being a champion from the beginning. No, it took him a long time. Anyways, after his first three-peat in the early 90s, he actually retired because after winning the first three-peat.
Didn't he play baseball?
Yeah, well, his father got murdered.
Yeah.
Right? And he had this incredible relationship with his father. And he just got murdered in this very senseless incident, right? And also, the media was all over Michael Jordan about his gambling habits. Which Michael Jordan just says is his hobby. And you kind of get it, right? You're like, you know, you want to… Like, Jordan used to be this image of like the perfect role model for children.
Yeah.
That's why it became such a huge issue, right?
Yeah.
But just think about it. This guy is in a sport playing at a level where like… He's winning. He has to win at all costs. If you have that kind of personality where you can actually pull it off, you would think that your hobby would become gambling.
Yeah.
In a way, right? Because
the rush of just like win.
You need those stakes.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not in any way justifying.
But you can understand gambling. How that happened.
But from the facts, it doesn't look like he did like illegal gambling. I don't know. Anyways, gambling is not good, guys. Don't gamble.
Yes.
So he retires, plays baseball, like minor league baseball.
Space Jam.
At which he was getting good at. Baseball, at the time, the MLB has their strike, so he can't play. And then he goes back to the Bulls after almost 2 years, returns, and then gets another three-peat. Right? That's
like wasn't even playing the game for a couple of years.
And one championship, I think he was playing against, I can't remember the team he was. Was it Charlotte or Orlando? I don't know. So in the playoffs, you have to win like four, right? You play against each other like as many games as
out of seven.
Yeah, out of six.
Best
or seven.
Out is up to seven, yeah.
Is it? Okay. I told you I'm not a fan of sports. But anyways. The Bulls win the first three games. So they're sweeping, right? And then Oh, okay. They were playing. Okay, so they had. I think they were playing the game, the team with Gary Payton. Hold on. Let me figure this out so I don't
For
get...
people who are not familiar with American basketball, basically you have what is called playoffs and the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And in the finals, the last two teams basically winning for first, like, you know, first place or whatever. They do it best out of seven. So if you win four games, you win basically. Like majority out of seven.
Okay. So the Bulls were playing the Seattle Supersonics. Okay. And this is what I'm talking about. Superstars somehow attracting drama and also doing things in the most dramatic way, whether it is an L or a win, right? They will do it in the most dramatic way possible. And it's not even like they're intending it. This is what makes them a superstar, I think. So they're playing the Supersonics. The Bulls win three. They just have to win one more. All of a sudden, they start losing and the Supersonics start catching up. So the Supersonics win the next two games. So it's 3-2 now, right?
Yeah.
When everyone expected the Bulls to sweep. The next game, Jordan comes back and just completely dominates. Like he just plays at a level that is just not human, really.
Like clearly has something to prove.
Yeah. And then they win. And it's Father's Day.
Oh, the shivers, the goosebumps.
Right? And Jordan is crying. He's like, there's a iconic picture of him with the basketball. He's just crying and he's like on the ground in the dressing room. And he's just crying because this is the first win that his father has not seen.
Mm.
But it happens on Father's Day. And there were rumors that maybe he deliberately lost the two games to Supersonics after winning the first three to keep it a little more secure so that he could win on Father's Day. Right? For his dad.
Yeah.
You know, there were rumors because
he's so good. He can just control the game like that.
It's so unbelievable that things can happen that way.
Yeah.
Right? And this was the whole excitement about Michael Jordan. Like, if there are people that are like, you know, LeBron's the GOAT. Like, what's this whole thing about Michael Jordan? Like, you know, he's just a good player. Like, but what is the big deal about it? You know, it's just sports or whatever. Well, here's the big deal about sports. It is a very good window into seeing something that comes close to like an opera or like Shakespearean drama, right? Be it tragedy or comedy. Because you have people competing for a very specific and concrete result, right? And the thing is, the Bulls and Michael Jordan delivered drama in a way that wasn't so common in sports. You know, you have certain players with great life stories, great come-ups, great downfalls and returns. But the way Michael Jordan did it, like literally every game he played, you were watching and you were like, there was some drama in every single shot, every single game. Like, for example, the way he would win a lot of these games was through buzzer beaters. Where like, you
just
literally
like
have…
at the last second.
Like, when it hits zero. Right? And if you go on YouTube and you search Michael Jordan buzzer beaters, there are just so many of them in crucial games that it's like… You know, it's one thing to be so good that you just don't lose. But to win or to upset or to come back at the last moment…
Mm.
It's not even something you can plan.
Yeah.
But it just means that this guy was relentless in his pursuit of victory in a way where even down to the last couple seconds he wouldn't give up. right? And that's probably why he has all these buzzer beaters. It's not like he waited so that he can,
he used every second as an opportunity.
And by doing this, anyone that was there watching it or watching it on TV, he delivered for sports fans an ungodly amount of drama, which is, and story, and, just human perseverance, right?
Yeah.
He showed this, right? And that's what I'm getting from watching this documentary. Like, are there things in there, even if you're not going to play basketball or you're not a fan of basketball, are there things in there that you can learn from it? Yes. There are many things you can learn from this documentary. And before I go into it any further, there is a huge debate about whether or not Michael Jordan is a good human being.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of people will say, Michael Jordan is a shitty person, but I won't deny that he's an exceptional, one hell of a player, right? One hell of an athlete. And here's the thing. Like, first of all, I don't think whether or not he was a good person should… I don't think it needs to be like the same conversation. I think it needs to be two different conversations, first of all. And secondly, if you watch… Not even if you watch this documentary, but like, just think like… with general common sense, right? This guy is, first of all, leading possibly the greatest team in sports history, right? Meaning that he didn't just jump into a team that was already killing it. He literally led a team that wasn't winning to the point where they were the greatest team in history, right? And to win and to play and win at that level constantly, it really can't be done by just being a nice guy. You know? I'm not saying that that's the only way to lead, but
yeah.
It's really hard to be generally liked and loved.
You have to have certain priorities.
Yeah. And it's hard to be loved and deliver for your team at the same time. And I know this from… I'm not saying this is right.
Yeah.
But his objective and also the objective in sports is to win. At all costs. As long as it's not like you're hurting someone. I'm not in any way like advocating… being an asshole for results,
Yeah.
I'm not saying anyone should do that, but just speaking from like personal experience, sometimes you have to be, even though you're aware that you don't want to be, and because I have a team as well, right? And I've led this team for. How many years? We first met in 2001. We became a team in 2002. It's been 18 years, right? And the first few years of Epic High, we struggled, as I've mentioned, right? We just were not doing well. And I had to literally like… take this team and take it into another stratosphere. And what was harder, it was very hard getting there, but it was also just way harder keeping it there. And after, 17, 18 years, the last two albums we released, we were number 1, 2, 3 on the charts, right? So we just totally… took up the first three spots. And that's been with our 8th album and our 9th album. And now we're working on new one, right? And it's rare for that to happen with someone at that, 17 years in, like 15, 16 years in. It's not easy. And to do that, we first of all have to create a great album. And let me just tell you, it's not easy. And my team is not made up of the three same personalities. We have our lazy one, where sometimes I literally have to like drag this person into the booth, and I have to sometimes.
I love how you're trying to not say name, but there's only one other member who would have to go into the booth.
Well.
Why? Okay.
Okay. Well, let me first lay it out. You know, we have the lazy one that sometimes will not show up for like 6 months.
Okay.
Where we have to hunt this guy down.
Yeah.
Okay. We have.
He's in hibernation.
We have the. We have the angry one. Who gets pissed off a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And. Loses focus about what we have to do because he's angry about something in the present.
Oh, like he can't do what,
I'm not,
like
I'm not naming any names here. Okay, this is really hard.
It Dennis might be, Rodman.
No, it might be much easier for Jordan because you know they at least have 11 people. But like, you know, for me it's just three of us, and I'm not saying I'm Jordan in any way.
Yeah.
But I'm saying my role in the team is to lead.
Yeah.
You know, and this role was both given to me and taken by me, right? Meaning from the onset of our, like from the beginning of our team, like from the origin, the two members wanted me to lead. And secondly, I quickly proved to them that I am obviously the leader. Like I am the one to lead. And the reason why the three of us are that way is because we're all humans and we're all different and we all have a different set of goals, right? Like for the lazy one, it's not that he's objectively lazy. You know, he might not be lazy in certain things that he loves to do, but maybe he's in music for a different reason than me, right? Maybe there are other values. And for the angry one, you know, he might have his own. That's why what I'm saying is from my perspective, they might be lazy and or angry or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But from their perspective.
Yeah. You're an asshole. Yeah.
I guarantee you they've thought that or they still think that many, many times. They're like, this guy is like. You know, this guy's not my parent. This guy's not, you know, this guy's not my teacher.
Yeah.
Like, and or it's just really difficult being in a team with him because he just won't stop. Like he's relentless.
Yes.
And they might be right, right? Like I might be an asshole. Well, at least within the team, right? And here's the thing. Like, I know what my objectives are for the team. And I've done it long enough to see exactly what results my pursuit of victory yields for them as well. Like, I've seen what it does for them. And also their families, how it changes things. Of course, like success and money doesn't make everything okay, but not having any of it
makes it pointless.
Harder, makes it harder.
Yeah.
And the reason why we came together was to make great music. And the reason, okay, so I've never worked on something or put out an album where I was like, we have to destroy the charts, right? My objective has always been the same. We have to create the best album that we can create And we have to stop and release it at the moment we feel like we can no longer, you know, do anything better. Like, and the reason why I think that way is because I grew up as a fan of music, right? And I was so happy when the musicians that I was into delivered an album or a song that I felt like was the best thing they could give me, you know? And it changed my life. It helped me when I was down. And I just want to do the same thing for my fans. I don't ever want someone that is a fan of my music to get something that's half-assed. There are times where that has happened. And I feel so bad about it that, like, you know, we had this one album called 99 that came out, and it was very different from what people expected. And a lot of people hated it. For like 4 days, I didn't come out of my bedroom, 3 or 4 days. And I was literally crying. Not because, I don't even know how it was doing on the charts. I heard it did pretty well. Like, one of the songs hit number one regardless. But I was in my room for 3-4 days crying because I felt like I had somehow let my fans down and also my team down. I felt like I didn't deliver. And incidentally, like, this was the first album I made right after my dad passed away. So so mentally, I was kind of confused. Anyways, when that happened, like, it crushes me that I didn't do the best I possibly could do. And that's why it's really hard for, like, I feel sorry for my members sometimes, because literally, like, for example, Mithra will do a rap and it'll be good. But to me, it could be better. And I will make him rework it and rework it, re-record, change a certain word, until I feel like it is the best that he can do. And I know that he can't, you know, he can't stand it sometimes. Like, I've made him record a single word 108 times over and over again until, because I felt like it wasn't coming through, you know? And, or even with like a single line, I'm like, I know, I see what you're trying to say, but I don't think you're saying it yet. I think you need to rework this. And both to Two Cuts and Mithra, both of them are like, does it really matter this much? Like, the thing that this guy is like fighting for is like maybe 1 or 2% of a difference.
Yeah.
It's like going from
like 1 second of a song.
Yeah. It's from like 98 to 100 maybe. You know, it's not like going from an F to an A. But I that's just my personality. Like, I refuse to knowingly do something that is not the best I can do.
Especially if you know you could.
Yeah. And as long as I know it, it will haunt me. Right?
That word.
And the problem is that your team, the others on your team, don't feel the same way. Like, for example, Mithra and Two Cuts might be perfectly fine with putting out something that, you know, they know could be better, but because of, you know, time constraints or like just because they get tired, they put it out and they might be completely okay with it as long as it does fine, right? And that's not wrong. But it's also not wrong for me to just try to deliver the best experience possible for the people that are, you know, giving up their time and money. Right? And that's been our constant like thing for like 17, 18 years. And I don't know what's right. Anyways, I'm watching this documentary with Two Cuts. Right? So he's watching it and there's a portion in the documentary where they talk about whether or not Jordan was a good person, like to his teammates. Right? Whether or not he was just like for his like in his pursuit of victory, like whether or not like he was humane in doing it.
Like his teammates of the time were talking about it.
Because he was really hard on his teammates where like he would punch them in the face.
Okay.
Okay, which is pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Of course he got pushed first.
Oh, okay.
But
for like what he was saying.
Yeah,
to
but
them.
He was really hard on his teammates, especially when they were down, when they had lost the first like the previous season. He would come back and in training be really hard on his teammates to get them up to the level. But then then they would win the championship. So he always delivered. He always made his team deliver, but to get there, you know, he probably pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we're watching this together and I can totally feel that Two Cuts is like…
he's burning like, holes into your skull.
Well, he's like recognizing a little bit of us.
Mm.
Right? And our dynamics. Right? And I'm watching this thing and I'm like… And… You know, I don't disagree with a lot of people who don't like Jordan as a human being because, like, you know, he's kind of petty. You know, when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, like, he was using his speech to settle old scores. Okay. So he's pretty petty, right? I'm not like that at all, but like, just hell bent on winning for him. For me, I'm hell bent on
delivering.
Yeah. And it's not even about quality.
Yeah.
It's not even about objective quality. I have never been hell-bent on trying to like beat others or to deliver something at a caliber that is like competing with others. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about the competition. It's really about, am I delivering the best I can deliver at this moment in time in my life, right? If I just put in 2 more hours tonight, I know that this verse or this melody or this beat will become a little better. Am I going to go home? No. Like, I will put in the 2 hours or maybe 3 to get it to that level. And even if I fail, like even if it doesn't happen. And we're watching this together, which is possibly good for the team because… I think I'm watching and I'm like realizing things and I'm also realizing how they might feel and they're watching it realizing how I might feel, you know? So everyone makes a certain amount of sacrifice, right? And that's what a team is. And that's sort of like what I think this documentary, like why I think this documentary is important to watch, even if you're not into Jordan or basketball, even if you don't like the guy, because it is clear that he is a GOAT.
For those who don't know what that stands for.
Greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way to deny it, you know, because the GOATs are on this documentary saying that he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, even Obama's on there.
He's a GOAT.
Anyways, everyone that is considered a GOAT is saying there are GOATs and then there's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Right? So if you don't take their word for it, I mean, like, whose word do you take?
I mean, his shoes are going to live on. Far beyond.
Oh yeah, let me get to the shoes
knowing
too.
Who like, he is as a person, even like if you don't know who Jordan is as a person, you'll definitely know the shoes.
And you know, Nike wasn't a big company at the time, which is why Michael Jordan was able to get that endorsement deal, right? And the great thing that his agent did, his agent was really innovative. This guy named Falk. So at the time, shoe endorsements were usually for tennis players. like nobody even fathomed that basketball could have a lifestyle brand, right? That a basketball player, that an NBA player could carry a line.
Yeah.
The way we know now, right?
Because tennis is like bougie.
Well, because basketball is a team sport and yeah. tennis is a individual sport where like the camera is focused on the guy.
Yeah.
But anyways, this agent, this sports agent who was Michael Jordan's agent, was very innovative where he took that same template and convinced Nike that they should give Jordan his own lifestyle brand line. He also came up with the name Air Jordan, right? And also to give royalties on every shoe sold.
To Jordan.
Yeah, which was not done at the time. Usually players would get one flat endorsement fee, but this agent convinced Nike, which wasn't a big company, right? To give him
royalties
for every shoe sold.
Wow.
And he was able to do this because Nike was not a big company, right? And Nike needed to, you know, take some risks. And he also needed to convince Jordan to go with Nike because Michael Jordan wanted to go with Adidas. Because, you know, there were other shoe companies like Converse and Adidas were way bigger than Nike.
Yeah.
We all know how that turned out. You know, Jordans are still generating like billions of revenues in 2020.
Nike and basketball are like forever intertwined.
Yeah. And the gamble paid off because Nike's whole thing is just do it.
Yeah.
And that's literally what Michael Jordan was capable of doing. Like, it seems almost magical when you watch the documentary. Like, this guy was able to decide whether or not he would win and actually do it.
Mm.
Like, he'd be losing and then something would happen and he'd be like, okay, I'm going to win this game. And the second he decided that, he would actually start winning and win.
Yeah.
Which is incredible,
right? It's like mindset.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's just… It goes so well with the Nike Just Do It slogan, right?
So were the Jordans, when they came out the first time… Were they like immediately popular?
Yeah. Nike
like
had…
Sold out everywhere?
Nike had a clause in their contract to protect themselves. Yeah, we'll give you royalties. But if you don't sell a certain amount of shoes in 3 years… Then we can pull out of the deal. The Jordans exceeded that number in the first 2 months.
Wow.
Like, by like 2-3 folds. So, it basically put Nike on the map. And also like shifted what we consider like… You know, like what we… So like lifestyle, sports… What am I trying to say? You know what I mean?
I get
like,
what you're trying to say.
It shifted to the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? Where like people…
NBA, basketball and like its players were now trendsetters in a way.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is reflected in how like… It worked really well with hip hop as well, right? Where
yeah.
like the jerseys and the baseball caps, like basketball shoes. It just worked out perfectly, right? Because everyone wanted to be like Mike. Anyways, after watching like these episodes, like as a human being, I am nothing like Michael Jordan, right? So when that whole like "be like Mike" slogan happened, and it's mentioned in the documentary,
yeah.
right? I realized that like I never quite wanted to be like Mike. Right? Because there are values that he has that are very different from mine. For example, like… Okay, everything that defines this guy is competition. Like he's
gotta be number one. Number one.
He loves competition and loves winning. At all costs. And I've just never been into competing. Like ever.
Yeah. Just don't care.
Which is… Hard for certain people to understand or get about me, because and they misunderstand me a lot, and because the results they see, and they focus only on the results to judge the person. When they look at the results, it looks like I've been like competitive as hell, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, the competition never even entered my mind. Like, I've never been very competitive. Even when I was a little kid, I didn't care what was going on the, you know, school playground. Like, I was off by myself digging holes, you know?
Yes.
And I don't even want to say that, like, cliche thing where, like, I only competed with myself. Because I didn't even do that.
You just literally did what you wanted.
Yeah, like, I've never, ever looked in the mirror and said, I have to beat that guy in the mirror. You know, I've never been that cliche.
Yeah, you're fragile.
I just have never cared about competition, and that drove my parents crazy. Because that was, competition was the only thing they understood knew how to use as a tool to get me to do what they wanted. And that's what a lot of parents are like, right? Competition is not something that you can like really argue against. It's an actual thing, right? And they use that to get their kids to do something that they need them to do. And it just never worked on me. Because I also grew up having an older brother and an older sister, and I saw firsthand what that can do to them, right? So I never really cared about like what other kids in my school, like what schools they were getting into, what their SAT scores were, what their GPA was. Because it,
you literally asked me yesterday what my SAT… I offered that information.
That was for a different reason.
Yeah, I offered that information, and then you came in real hot and said, well, guess what I got?
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
We're just joking about that. But like, I never really cared because… You know, why care? Like, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
And I just did… I just do what I feel like I need to do at the time. And if I'm going to do it anyways, I just want to be the best I can be at it. Right? And as long as I feel like I gave my all, the results really honestly don't matter. And… Yeah, and so I will never be like the guy that's getting the six championship rings. I will never be the guy who's like dominating, or who's, you know, or just objectively destroying everyone.
Yeah,
right? Because that's just not my thing. And as I was watching, I realized I'm more like Dennis Rodman in a way.
I was thinking that the whole time.
Yeah, like, I'm not talking about like…
You don't think you're Scottie Pippen?
I'm not talking about like Dennis Rodman's like…
whole, eccentricity.
Like everything, yeah. Right? But I recognize more of myself in Dennis Rodman than Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah, someone who is very much… he's very in the moment.
Yeah, and but he's… he's exceptional at what he does.
Yeah.
Because that's just… he's doing it, and he's like, I'm just gonna do this. And then when he's done, he moves on to something else. So I'm just recommending this documentary to anyone and everyone, because there are things to learn from it. And if you're in charge of a team, if you're in charge of a company, or if you're part of a team, part of a company, or in a relationship, leading a family, it really makes you think about what your core values are, right? Because you get to see greatness, and also the sacrifices that are required for that greatness, and also some of the results from greatness that may not be so desirable. And by this, what I'm trying to get at is, okay, so there's this whole like debate between whether or not LeBron is the GOAT, or Michael Jordan is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people who grew up watching the Bulls, you know, they've seen both Michael Jordan play and LeBron play. They've seen both eras. So they're like, youngins, shut the up. Like, I've seen both eras and like, and it's definitely MJ.
The feeling right? around surrounding his wins.
And people who have never seen the Jordan era and have seen LeBron, because LeBron is one hell of a player.
Yeah.
They're like, no, LeBron's the GOAT, you know? But here's the thing, like, when you watch this documentary, ask yourself, like, who's the happier person, right? And my answer is LeBron. LeBron clearly looks happier than Michael Jordan, even after 6 championship rings.
Yeah.
Even after an incredibly successful fashion brand, which is Air Jordan, right? Which is, you know, which LeBron doesn't even have. But like, regardless, like if you ask me like who's the happier person, I think LeBron. But, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you, like seeing Michael Jordan's like whole arc, you realize that because that's the absolute pinnacle of greatness in your field, right? Doesn't always mean you're going to be the happier guy.
Or satisfied.
Yeah. In any way, right? And so there are things to learn about that in there. And also just group dynamics, right? Like just… like any family, any team, any relationship, you know, you have these objectives in mind to take that relationship to a better level, right? To a completely another, like another stratosphere. Like you want to just elevate it and make it better. But to do that, you know, you have to really think about like what you're sacrificing, but also what the other person is sacrificing to go along with you, right? Yeah. And you have to think about whether or not it's worth it. And these are questions that that people don't think sports will deliver. But I think that's what sports is ultimately about.
Yes.
I don't think it's about like betting on which team is going to win. I don't think it's about the hot dogs in the stand. I don't think it's about, you know, the flashy highlight reels. Yeah, all of that matters. And all of that is very entertaining. But I think at the end of the day, the reason why we have sports is to constantly make us think about what we are striving to, striving for, and whether or not it is something we want. Right? And also how human beings can come together and overcome their adversaries or
personal
obstacles.
Yeah.
And also how to deal with failure, how to lose gracefully, how to come back. You know, all of that is what sports should be about. Yeah, that's what I took from the documentary. I really recommend you guys see this. It's just an exceptional watch.
I am excited to see it.
Anyways, I'm out.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.